I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM. It's the mid-morning market report. A quick look at the national basis overnight for corn. It was unchanged, by the way, at 19 cents under the July contract. The DTN corn index for the cash price down a penny at $3.37 a bushel. The basis for the soybeans a penny stronger at 31 under the July. The index on the cash price was 9 cents lower at $9.09 in Chicago. At this hour, futures are trading lower in both the corn and the bean pit. July contract in the corn is a penny and three quarters lower, 354 and three quarters. December down 2.5 cents at 371 and three quarters. July beans now gaining a penny and a half, so it's up at 941 and a half. The November, though, down 2.5 at 906 and a quarter. Bean meal is up 310. Bean oil 19 cents higher. July soft red winter wheat futures at $5.08¾ are up 4.5. And the live cattle futures are down $2.72½ at 152.52. Feeder cattle in the August contract at 223.62½ are down 262.5, and lean hogs at 81.45 are 7.5 cents higher for the day. On the phone line to take a look at these numbers and talk about the rest of the trading day is Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning to you, Michael.
Happy soggy Friday, Todd.
It is a soggy Friday. I had about 0.4 overnight. I emptied that out before I left. However, before I finally got out the driveway this morning, more rain was falling here in Urbana-Champaign, actually, in the northwest side of the county. How about in your area?
Yeah, another 1.5 to 2 inches, and you were lucky and felt good if you only got that much in the last 24 to 36 hours. The moisture levels are really starting to show from the standpoint of the saturated ground and the humidity here. Really introducing almost daily afternoon thunderstorms that are really developing right at that critical time, middle of the afternoon, and snaking all the way across. Clients in central Illinois, Peoria and north have been talking to me quite a lot and looking at re-ownership on the corn because of their 6 to 8 inches of rain so far in the last 7 days. So it's getting across the Mississippi and into the primary central corn belt at this state. It maybe 72, 36 seems to be a dividing line. You get down around that area, and maybe the rain shuts off, and you're pretty happy. In fact, very happy probably with your crops for the most part.
When I had my discussion yesterday with Mike Tenor out at T-Storm, I asked him just exactly, and Mike is both a meteorologist and an ag economist trained here on campus at the U of I working at T-Storm in Chicago, if there was kind of a demarcation at all when rainfall became a problem. I believe we had more than 8 inches in the month of May and 6 inches over June, July, August up per month. Was when he suspected things would be problematic. So it's kind of a nice rule of thumb to keep in the back of your mind. Have you been out and about in your area? We've heard so much about how far behind they are with their soybean planting. Does it look like they'll get it done?
No. I think prevent plant is going to be taken at this stage. I was just had a fellow here from southwest Missouri, close to Pittsfield, Kansas, just yesterday, and we were talking about that, and he said that he has not even started since the, I think, first week of May was the last time he got into the fields. And so you are, I would say, and I think you and I talked about this a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks ago, we're in the epicenter of the worst part of the drought, so I can't look out my back window too much, but when I start to see it spread out, and then I see USDA's report this week, it makes me think that that the weather premium is definitely not being factored in at this point. And I say that, Todd, because I see the report this week as being obsolete because of the weather. In other words, soft red wheat production did go down. Hard red wheat did go up. But the soft red production went down just a smidgen, and USDA did not change Missouri at all. And as I said, that's the epicenter. And it's the number one planted state for soft red wheat, based on what I've seen this in planted acres this year. So I think they being USDA, jumped the gun on increasing hard red wheat. I mean, we're talking about Woodward, Oklahoma, in the next 5 days, 8 inches of rain. They were harvesting earlier this week. Clinton, Oklahoma, 5. Enid, 5.5. Next 5-day totals You know, the Dodge City, I think they're going to rename that to the pontoon fight at the OK Corral with Duck Holiday.
Yeah.
Because they're looking at 2.5 inches. So, I mean, between that and leaving India's production unchanged and not looking at France or Australia or even southern Russia, I think this report number for the wheat, the world wheat supplies being increased, is pretty obsolete at this point. I actually think today is going to be kind of a drawing line here, because we're right on some key technical support for wheat and key technical support for and resistance for the U.S. dollar. So I think today could be quite important as we close out this week.
Yeah, to give a nod to USDA, they did make mention that the recent rainfall was not calculated into their at least domestic numbers for wheat. I don't recall reading what they had to say about the global numbers.
Yeah, and this means a lot less when you have the algorithmic traders, because they won't take that into consideration,
right?
Because you can't turn that into a binary number. And I think this is where this year is different from last year in that respect. We think supplies are dropping, demand is going up, and that's the difference between this year and last year. But USDA's numbers certainly set us back for that 2010 type model year, because we didn't get the reduction in world wheat ending stocks that I really wanted to see.
Hey, just kind of off that topic, but a tangent just a bit. There is so much cash flow that comes into the commodity markets from the outside world. That happened as the build-out of ethanol was coming, as the change in the plateau, relatively speaking, of prices happened in that 5 or 6 year period. Is it still there? And at this point, has it made trading different for you?
It has made trading different for me, yes, because the funds versus the fundamentals oftentimes are a fight between the two instead of working in conjunction with one another. I would say the money is definitely still there because of what I see in the equities markets making all-time highs on pretty unrobust and non-robust economic news. And it's interesting you bring this up, because just this morning both the Wall Street Journal and the Financial Times had on their second front page or business front page that emerging markets have suffered their biggest weekly outflow in 7 years. And so you can directly correlate now, I think, the emerging market commodities and how the funds trade. And so they're still in that asset allocation of buy the equities until we see what the Federal Reserve does, or until we see inflation comes back, which could be the same thing. And so, yeah, I think the money's still there, and I still look for that asset reallocation once we get, you know, more of a green light technically.
How important is it for wheat and corn? And I haven't actually looked at the chart, so you'll have to help me out. Are they capable of finishing the week higher?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're capable of finishing the week above on a weekly close higher.
That's not
capable of doing what they were where they were earlier this week. We've essentially hemmed in the July wheat with the 200-day moving average near the 540 level as resistance, and the 100-day moving average, which we're on right now, right around 508. But you bring up the wheat about how important. I think after this week's report and the flooding that we're probably going to see, it makes it extremely important, because corn is more of a follower than ever in terms of weaker demand. We had the RFS shift from EPA. We've got these Chinese supplies now that the Chinese are looking at trying to drop the price, cut the freight rates to discourage imports of sorghum, which will replay, you know, back into the corn market some more. And we may have a lot of feed wheat coming because of the quality issues that this rain may present. So corn demand picture does not look good, and it says to me it's going to have to be a follower. If it's going to go up, it's going to go up because of wheat or soybeans.
It'll be interesting to see what China does with their corn, domestic corn supply, heavily subsidized in that marketplace, so that they have a lot of supply, and they keep rural Chinese in rural China, I guess. And there's a big supply of corn there. Would have a big impact on sorghum imports, I
would think. And they're saying they're going to take 10% off the price. That came out this morning. And they're going to give rail freight subsidies to the mills in the South to make it about the same price as imported sorghum from the United States. But then the question becomes, what about the quality? Most feed mills that I know of and that I've been, you know, doing research on would say, we can't take it. It's just not got the quality we need it to have.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again this afternoon.
All right, sir. Have a great afternoon.
You too. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Joins us here on the Mid-Morning Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're coming up on the top of the hour. It'll be 10 o'clock in the Central Time Zone. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. On our way today to a high of 89 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms are likely today. 60% chance. More in an hour.